in your brain, a thought in your mind that you just couldn't stop thinking about. And no matter how hard you tried, no matter how hard you tried to replace that thought with a different thought, this thought was just, I like to say it this way, was living free for rent up here. Just me. I don't know. So let me tell you one, because, you know, I love to tell stories about me. This happened, and it was a little awkward. Okay, so I'm at this big store. I think I was at BJ's where it was, and I see this person all the way down there waving. Oh, and I go, because they're waving. And then I realize they are waving at the person behind me. And you're like, awkward, okay? And I'm feeling a little awkward and embarrassed. And, you know, that night, that thought woke me up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'm going, God, am I that awkward? God, what's the matter with me? So that thought just was like taking rent for free up here, all righty? Now, maybe, okay, let me give you a good example. Okay, you got to help me out with this one, okay. You guys, absolutely, Jason, we couldn't do it. Oh, okay. I'm not going to feel awkward. So here's my good example. How many of you are parents? How many grandparents? So you probably know this, okay? Please sing along with me. Ready? Baby shark, 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 shark. Baby shark, 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 shark. Mommy, ready? Mommy shark, shark, shark. All right. Now, what did you do at church today? Oh, we sang baby shark, 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 shark. Okay? So here's the thing. As much as I tried so hard, I'm not even thinking of babies. I'm not even thinking of sharks. This is stuck, taking free rent in my brain, okay? And anybody else? And I looked on YouTube. It had like a billion views. And I'm like, I don't even think it's that great of a song. But it's, and it took months. And now I'll probably take another month to get this, you know, obnoxious thought out of my mind. Okay? Just me. All right. But maybe, now here's the thing. Maybe there's other thoughts that have invaded us that are actually toxic, that are stuck, and they are living free rent in our brain. And because these thoughts are living free rent, we can't go the places God wants us to go. We can't live the way God wants us to live, and He wants us to live free. Amen. Yeah. So I have to say this, though. Every week, I just count it an honor that I get to share the Word of God with you. It is just an honor. And there's some topics that I pick, that I have to think the Holy Spirit had me pick them out, that are just hard for me, because I've had to live them, and I just is like, and really, today's message is me. And maybe it's you, because this message is about overcoming pains and frustrations and disappointments and then doing really good and then still struggling. So today, I'm not preaching at you, I'm preaching to myself, but I hope you can catch some things. Ready? Why do I say this is a big deal? Why do I think this is a big deal? So I love reading statistics. What do you do after lunch? So I love looking at statistics, but listen to this one. This is what scientists say. Here we go. Scientists say there's over 70,000 thoughts in the average person that you think every day. So your spouse that looks like they have tuned out to you, oh, no, 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 no. They got thoughts going. Right? 70,000 thoughts every day are just going through your brain. Now listen to this. This is, you know, whenever you have something like that, then the psychologists come along and they give you their things. Here's what they say. Psychologists tell us that of those 70,000 thoughts that are going through your brain, 75% of them are negative. 75% of the thoughts that go through your brain are negative. And you're like, huh? Well, we're human, and you know, it's just our human nature, not God nature, human nature, that's our go-to to go negative. It really is, all right? So now, there's another part of the study. These are the psychologists. They said this, the average human being has 6,200 chains of thought. That means this thought led to this thought, led to this thought, led to this thought. And how many of you ever thought, how did I ever get over there thinking about that? Those are chains of thoughts. You know, they just, they get you going over there. But here's the interesting things. We call them chains of thoughts. But what happens if these chains of thoughts, this thought led to this thought that led to this thought, have you in bondage because of this thought that's living rent-free and not where God wants you free? Just happens, okay? Now, the Bible says, as a man thinketh, so he is. Anybody read that? As a man thinketh in his heart, that's the way he is, okay? And the Bible also says that we are to pray that we have the mind of Christ. That's a great thing, to have the mind of Christ. Now, so we have chains of thought. Now, think about this. Have you ever heard someone say, like a train of thought? That's sort of the same thing. This thought leads to this thought, leads to this thought, leads to this thought. But here's the thing. You'd never get on a train that says Chicago and expect to end up in New York City. That's absurd. Like, what? But listen to this, Scott. Guys, listen. So if we have these trains of thought and we are that are just like human, negative, wrong, and all that stuff, and we have all these going through our head, and yet we expect to arrive at a life from freedom, okay? It's not working. Okay, so you've got these negative trains of thoughts, and we're expecting, woohoo, this is the greatest life I'm living. It's not working. It's not working. So if you're taking notes, write this down. Trains of thought take us places. Trains of thoughts take us places. And then I'm going to break it down a little bit this way. Every thought comes from somewhere, and every thought will take you somewhere. You know those 70,000 trillion billion thoughts that go through your head during the day? They come from somewhere, and they will take you somewhere, all right? And here's the cool thing, that God wants to take us into freedom, but if we've got these chains of thoughts that just are negative and they lead us into bondage and we're not living the life that God wants us to be, okay, they live rent-free, and they are taking us, they're just taking us over. So how about I give you a couple of sources of our thoughts? Like, where could these thoughts come from? So if you're taking notes, the first source of these thoughts, everybody point to yourself. They come from us. They come from me, okay? These thoughts can come from us, all right? Now, here's the deal. All of us have thoughts in our brain because we're people. We're alive. You've got breaths. You all have the thoughts that just are whirling around here. Now, do you ever think a thought and then you're like, oh, dear God, do I need help? Somebody pray for me. That thought, you know? Like, all righty? So it's not because you're a bad person. It just means you're human. Welcome to Club Human. And we all have thoughts, and I'm going to call them funny thoughts. Okay? We all get those thoughts, okay? And then there's those kind of thoughts. And then there's thoughts that are soul thoughts. There are emotion thoughts. And, you know, whatever's happening to your life, you know, when we're just having our emotions, okay? God gave you emotions. All right, God gave you emotions. Now, he gives you emotions to feel. But, I always start that sentence with a but he doesn't want you to have those emotions rule you and crash and burn. He wants you to go through them and move on. So, but the good part is God gave us emotions, okay? And God gave us, and so God gave us emotions and we have thoughts. We all have thoughts. So here's my second source for thoughts. Guess what this one is? God. God gives us thoughts. God gives us thoughts, okay? And the Bible says what? His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. And So we're going through life and we have these challenges and then we have these frustrations and then we have this pain and then we have all this stuff going on. And what God wants us to do is to be led by the Holy Spirit and to have the Word of God in us that'll lead us and we'll get free. So that's what God does, all right? So it would be really cool to have God thoughts in us. Like, continually, I am thinking on God thoughts. Like, the whole world's blowing up over here. And I'm going, nope, this is the God thought. And I'm going to walk free. I'm not going to get caught in that. Right? So we have God thoughts. So we have us thoughts and God thoughts. And here's the third one. And this is really important to know. That our thoughts, the source of some of our thoughts can come from the enemy. Yeah. The enemy, okay? And he would just love to wreak havoc on your mind. Like, he would just love to plant toxic thoughts, negative thoughts that just are going to destroy your life and you're all tied up in bondage and you're not free. He just loves doing that, okay? So what does Satan come to do? Steal? Yeah. Three things. His MO has never changed. Steal, kill, and destroy. And the thing is, if you let him plant... plant rent free up here these thoughts that are negative and toxic and la 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 la. One of those three things are going to happen in your life, okay? That's his MO. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy, all right? So that's all the bad news. That's the bad news. Here's the good news, all right? My assignment today is to help you become rent free and set free. How many would like to sign up for set free? I would rather be set free. I have had thoughts already. So here's some, let's talk about some of the thoughts the enemy loves to plant into our mind. Here's the first one. He loves to plant tormenting thoughts. The psychologists would call it evasive thoughts. Tormenting thoughts, all righty? Now, those kind of thoughts don't belong in your mind. Those kinds of thoughts are not good, okay? And those kinds of thoughts are going to wreak havoc on your life, and you're not going to live free, and you're not going to enjoy life, and you're not going to do the things God wants to like, and you're just not even going to be nice, okay, if you leave them in there long enough. So what does this look like? What do you mean, tormenting thoughts? How about this one? Fill in the blank. I'm just so whatever. I'm just I like this one. I'm just not smart enough. I'm just not skinny enough. I'm just not strong enough. I'm just not. So fill in the blank. So those are tormenting thoughts. I'm just not. Anybody? Okay, don't go there. All right, here. All right, how about this thought? Shame. Shame thoughts. Shame thoughts, okay? The enemy puts something in your head, makes you think about something that you did, something that you didn't do, and how you're living your like this, and you're living your life like this, and you ought to be, and all of a sudden we feel the shame, okay? We feel the shame, and then you know what we do? Then what we do is we start isolating ourselves from everybody. Been there and done that. And then on top of that, we start pulling away from God. Because we feel shame. You know, look what I did. And this is what I have been doing and all that stuff. So shame. Shame's not a good one. Here's another one. And I hear this a lot. Not from any of you. Thoughts that say, God's mad at me. God's mad at me, okay? Pastor D, you don't know what I've done. You don't know the life I've lived. Pastor D, you don't know how I've disobeyed God. Pastor D, you don't know I have been running so hard and fast away from him. Pastor D, how could God, who's a good God, even want to think about me, okay? So those are tormenting thoughts, okay? Here's another one, thoughts of unforgiveness. And let's face it, has anybody ever had to forgive somebody? The rest of you, I'm coming home with you. You must be so, okay? We all have had to have people that have hurt us, offended us, just people have been people, okay? And so then I'm trying so hard to forgive them. I'm trying so hard to forgive them. And then this tormenting thought is like it's on auto repeat. okay, of all the things that they said to you, of all the things that they did to you, of all the things they didn't do to you, and it's just torment. It's on repeat, okay? So we actually end up like in prison and captive in our thoughts because of things like that. Here's another one. Maybe you've been through a really difficult time, okay? And the enemy has lied. Everybody say, liar, liar, pants on fire. He is. He's a liar, okay? And he's got this thought in your mind. There's nothing good in front of me. There's just, you know, I have no hope, okay? But listen, what does the Bible say? What does God say? I have a hope and a future, a good plan for you. But the enemy, he's just going to put this tormenting thought. You know, there's nothing good in front of me. Oh my gosh, there's no hope. This will never change. So this becomes tormenting. This becomes devastating. This just becomes bad, right? So here's the second one about thoughts that the enemy would love to just plant in your mind. This kind of thought. Here, ready? Temptation thoughts, all right? This is probably one of the biggest sources of confusion for people that are new to walking with Jesus. Like, they're walking through their life, and they start having these temptation thoughts. They're being tempted, and they think, oh, I'm sinning. Okay, listen, guys. Every one of us on the planet is going to have temptation, okay? And guess who had temptation and did really good through it? Jesus, right? Jesus was tempted, and he gave you the best way to resist temptation. So you remember the story? Jesus is in the wilderness. Okay, he's in the wilderness. Matter of fact, back up a little bit. So Jesus is just living high. He had just been water baptized, and the heavens open, and this voice says, "This is my beloved Son, who I'm well pleased." And Jesus is like, whoa. I mean, that's the biggest day, right? And then what happened next? The Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness. Okay, he led him into the wilderness, and then what happens next? The enemy starts tempting him, all right, tempting him to sin, right, tempting Jesus, the Lord and Savior? Yeah, the enemy started tempting him, okay? Now, listen to this. If he tempted him, If the enemy, Satan, has trying to tempt him, that means he had to consider. Okay? You know, listen, Jesus was the Son of God, but he was also living in a human flesh. And he was tempted, okay? And he resisted. How did he resist the devil? And this is how we should, ready? How did he resist? The devil's coming, and the devil knows the word of God. Okay, he's got big ears. He's heard this. The devil knows the word of God, and he's tempting Jesus, tempting him to sin, and because he's twisting it, the devil's twisting it. And Jesus goes, what does he do? Jesus, by the way, is the living word of God, and he goes, it is written. Get out of here. All right, so he listened to this. Just this free. This doesn't cost you anything. Whenever you find yourself in your wilderness, whenever you find yourself being tempted in any hard place of your life, this is where you better go deep into this. That means you might have to turn off a bunch of other things and get your head in this, okay? So whenever you're being tempted or finding yourself in a wilderness, you go deep into the Word of God, okay? You need to find out what the Word of God says for you. Now, some of us, not anybody here, we love to give the Word of God to everybody else. Oh, you know, you need to do this, you need to do that. But listen, when you're in your wilderness, you better find out what God says about you. Everybody say me. Amen. All right, so when we get ourselves in trouble, I will tell you, the devil knows the Word of God, and you better know it better than him. Yeah, and then, so these thoughts of temptation are coming, all right, then you're going to go, oh, no, buddy. This is the Word of God. Get out of here, right? All right, so here's my number third one. Source, the thoughts that the enemy likes to just live rent-free. Here we go. Confusion. If you take a note, write it down. Confusing thoughts. Confusing. I don't know if you notice this, but the culture, the planet, the people living on the planet, they are so confused. like confused about this and this and this and this. Confused. Everybody say, they are so confused. They are so confused. I'm telling you what. Okay, now, confusing thoughts, the enemy is a master at. Like he is the master of confusing thoughts. Think about the Garden of Eden. Here's Eve. She's living in her best life, man. She's got plans and purpose. She's living in this beautiful garden. Eve is living the best life. And the enemy shows up, and he starts confusing her thinking. And he goes like this. You know this God that you think is so good? You know, he's not that good. You know this God that you think has good stuff for you? I'm telling you, this God, he doesn't want to give you all the good stuff. And so all of a sudden, she's getting confused in her thinking. Everybody say confused. Yeah. So these confusing thoughts kind of creep in. Now, maybe there's, no, that's Eve. How about us? Maybe you're having some confusing thoughts about, where should I live? Should I go back to school? And then these thoughts, okay? Should I get a different job? And then these thoughts? Or maybe, how about this? These thoughts that are just camping out, causing confusion. Like, what do I do about this relationship with this person? I don't know. Okay? So the enemy likes to just put thoughts of confusion in your head, okay, that are opposite. Everybody say opposite. Of the Word of God. And that's the problem. Okay, here's the good news. God wants to put thoughts in your head to move that rent-free thought out so you can live free. God wants you to help you. God's word will help you. But God wants to move rent-free thoughts so you can live free. Live free. Everybody go, I want to live free. I do. I'm telling you, okay? Now, Galatians, let's do this. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Uh-oh. Here it is. So I always have a Bible up here, but it's much easier just to type up the scriptures here and just go like this. And I thought, uh-oh, I might have to get my Bible out. Okay, y'all, Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. For it is for freedom, everybody say freedom, that Christ has set you what? For it is for freedom that Christ has set you what?
Free.
Wow, okay. So listen to this. God wants you to be free. God's designed you to be free. I love that. I love that, okay? Now, so we're going to read the second part. That's the first part of Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Listen to the second part. Ready? Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery, all right? So God wants to set us free. He wants us to live free. And then what is the Apostle Paul saying here? Like he's saying, it is entirely possible to know God, to know you're going to heaven, to know all the words to the worship songs that we sang, to wear the t-shirts. The Apostle Paul is saying, it's entirely possible to know God and still live in bondage. Okay, I'm reading that scripture again. Okay. For it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm then and do not let yourself be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. All right? So it is possible to know the Lord and still live in bondage. And yet God wants us to be free. All right. Pastor D, what do you mean? How is that possible? Pastor D, how is it possible that I can know God and still be in bondage? Pastor D, like you know, the Bible says here that I'm to be set free on a piece of paper, but I'm still living in bondage? Well, let me tell you how it works, ready? Because you can take on the yoke of slavery. The yoke of slavery, okay? Because, and if you, let me put it this way, you can be unaware of the yoke of slavery. Okay. Now, we don't talk about yokes that often, all right? We don't, okay? But when this was written, they lived in a farming community, okay? So they knew about yokes. Can you pop that on the screen for me, Jason? Okay. Ta-da! Those are some big guys, all right? Okay, so they put the yokes, typically they put them on oxen, and they were massive animals, and they weighed hundreds and thousands of pounds, okay? And they would attach the yoke over the two of them, and then they'd attach them to a plow, and then they do their farming thing. You know, dig up the dirt, plant the seeds, have a good harvest. You can tell I don't know a lot about farming, okay? But listen, but there was one problem that the farmers had. Okay, they started to notice that these big guys, these big old guys, these really big guys, okay, they were too big and too strong to allow this yoke, and they started bucking. They started, you're not putting me in that. So these farmers got really smart, and they go, oh, I know what we'll do. We'll go find some youngins. Everybody say young. Yeah. So they decided, you know what? We'll yoke the youngins to the yoke, all right? So they'll get familiar with the yoke, all right? And then they'll start to like the yoke. And then they'll feel comfortable. I'm going to use this word, captive. Think about that, all right? Now, it's kind of crazy and sad, but so here they've been young. And now they're young, okay? And now they're old. So they're young and now they're old. And they're yoked, okay? And they're really big and strong. Like they could just bust out of that. But here's the thing. They have grown familiar with the yoke. You know where I'm going with this, okay? And now the yoke controls them, okay? If you're taking notes, write this down. They yoke them when they're young so they can control them when they're old. You ought to write this down because some of you should be shouting and you didn't get it, so write it down, okay? They yoke them when they're young so they can control them when they're older, all right? Now, that's really powerful, and I have to wonder how many of us have been frustrated and discouraged because of our habits and maybe our addictions and our behavior, and we just can't seem to shake that yoke off. Okay. Like, okay, every new year, my New Year's resolution, it's really painful because I haven't done what I said I'd do last year. And I, you know, okay? And here I am again, God, all righty? Okay. And that's why Paul said, why do I do the things I don't want to do and I don't do the things I want to do, okay? And I believe in, not all the time, but I believe in many cases it's because we have been yoked when we were young. Oh, y'all smiling at me. Okay, let me give you an example. I have people come into my office and talk about this all the time. They were looking at images on their computer for 30 seconds, and they were like 12 years old, okay? 30 seconds, and then it took 20 years to break free of that bondage. And that's guys and girls, by the way, okay? Okay, so what does the enemy do? He loves to yoke you when you're young. You're held captive when you're old. Maybe it was somebody who spoke words over you, discouragement. Like, you're a waste. You're an idiot. You're just like Aunt so-and-so, okay? Whether it was a parent or some older person, teacher, or something like that. And all of a sudden, this label has attached to you, okay? And then that's the label that you carry all through your life, okay? That thought is now rent-free, living in you, all right? Praise God. When you're young, you get yoked so you'd be old and carry it, right? How about this one? It could be abuse, all right? It could be abuse. And listen, nobody asks to be abused. Nobody deserves it. And I'm always just so sorry when I hear of someone who's been through some abuse, whatever it is. But can I tell you what the enemy likes to do? He likes to take your pain, and it is horrific, the pain after you've been abused. Take your pain, okay? And then he wants you to start to decide, you know, I can't take this anymore, pain anymore. If I could just live one more minute free of this pain. And then we get addicted to stuff so we can cope to get out of the pain, okay? The enemy, he yokes us when we're young so he can control us when we're old, all right? Now, for some of us, here's what the enemy wants to do. Once we've lived long enough yoked, okay? I've been young and now I'm a middle-ager, now I'm an olderer, okay? And he loves, once you've been yoked, then what happens, he puts this thought into your mind, and he convinces you, well, that's not so bad, kind of like it. It's just, you know, I'm kind of comfortable in that. I'm going to say that again. He wants to convince you that those chains are like, well, it's nothing. And you know what we do? Listen, I hear this all the time. We start bragging about our chains. Chains. We start, like we celebrate our chains. We post our chains. Yeah, okay? So if you're taking notes, write this down. It's impossible to change if we love our chains. You know, okay? Now, but God wants us to be free. He wants us to live in freedom. I used to always think this is just to the young people. Matter of fact, my mother-in-law used to say this, and she said, let's pray for the young people. And then I was like, she's loving it. I go, oh, no, Bubba. It's for everybody, not just the young people, okay? But let me say this. This is 2 Corinthians 6:4. Don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Don't be, yoked. Oh, don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers, okay? Because it doesn't matter how much you follow Jesus. It doesn't matter how much you love Jesus. It doesn't matter if you're wearing a cross, okay? It doesn't matter. Because if you connect yourself with those unbelievers, okay, you'll start following them most of the time. But if you connect yourself with unbelievers, all right, you just start following them, okay? And that is why, write this down, whoever we're hitched to determines the direction of your life. Whoever you're hitched to determines the direction of your life. And you know, I like to call them Friday friends because we are to connect with the lost. We are connect with the world, okay? Again, it's called evangelism. It's called sharing your story and stuff. But I could just jump and scream. The people you spend the most amount of time with, the people that you open your heart to on a daily basis, they have to be people living in freedom. I'm telling you, been there, done it, watched it a million times, okay? So free people have to have free friends. Write that down. Every parent should be writing this and it goes on the mirror, okay? Free people have to have free friends. Free people have to have free friends, okay? And you know what those free friends? They have to have free thinking. That means they have to think the way the Word of God says. They have to think the way Jesus says. They have to think the way that you should walk, all right? Okay? And that means their minds are renewed. So free people have what? Exciting. Now, guess what happens when that happens? Guess what happens when that happens, okay? When you start to hitch up to people that are free people, that have their minds renewed, it just kind of bubbles into you also. It just bubbles in. You get better, right? Now, it's impossible to change when we love our chains. This isn't really a shouting message. I know, I get it. But just fake a smile at me every once in a while. Okay, jeez. Okay, I'll get a drink. Here we go. Here we go. Thank you, Rick. You smile. Okay. Open up to Matthew chapter 11. Jesus comes on the scene, and he introduces a whole different kind of yoke. All right? He introduces a whole different kind of yoke. Listen to this. Matthew 11, verse 28. Come to me. Jesus is saying this. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you what? Verse 29, take my what? Okay, it's yoke, okay? Different kind of yoke. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle, I am humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. Can I just say this? If you haven't experienced Jesus, okay, there is nothing in this world, even though the world says, oh, do this, and it'll just life will be great. But I'm just telling you, there's nothing that the world will give you and offer you that will give you rest for your soul. What is your soul? My mind, my will, my emotions. Like Creflo Dollar, my intellect. Okay? So, the world has all kinds of ideas, and the Bible says they are high and lofty thoughts against the knowledge of God. The world's whacked, baby. Come on, everybody say it's whacked. It's got goofy ideas, right? Okay. But the only way you are going to experience freedom, I mean lasting freedom, okay, is you find your rest in the Lord Jesus Christ, right? So read verse 30 now. For my yoke, this is Jesus saying, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So God wants you to have rest. Amen. Now, here's the cool thing about a yoke. You know what a yoke really means? A yoke means you're yielded. Okay? All right? So these oxen are actually yielded to their master. Okay? They're yielded to their master. These big boys, they're yielded to the master that's leading them this way. All right? Now, so how about I say, God, I am trading my yoke of slavery, and God, I am going to yield myself to your word, to your ways, all right? I'm going to be under your yoke because your yoke is easy and it's light. Praise God. Now, what happens when you yield to God's yoke and his direction? I'm telling you, your life gets gooder. Life gets gooder, okay? If you yield and surrender to God, your business, I'm telling you, God will start giving you business ideas. I've watched this. Matter of fact, your finances will start working better, all right? Every part of your relationships, you start yielding and surrendering your relationships to God, they'll start working better, okay? When you yield to his yoke, I am telling you, his thoughts, you'll go from rent-free to set-free, okay? But you decide if you're going to yield and to surrender to him. Now, as a mother, you need to do this, okay? But no, you have to yield and surrender, all right? So here's my second point, ready? So my first one was really, you know, you could say it was just to youth, but it was really for everybody on the planet. But here's my second one, and this is to parents, anybody who's future parents, any adults, any size and shapes and whatever, okay? If you're taking notes, write this down. Your yoke just doesn't affect you, okay? Your yoke doesn't just affect you. Your yoke, the thing that you yield to, the thing that you come under, doesn't just affect you, all right? Whew, all right. Well, you know, Pastor D, the way I think is the way I think. It's not going to affect my kids. You know, the way I am and think and act and talk, you know, the people around me and my family, it's not going to affect them. Okay? Listen to this. Don't go super left field with me. Just stay here, okay? You can pass your chains onto your children. Okay? Okay, that's why, well, my great-grandpappy and my grandpappy and my pap, they're all struggled with alcoholism, and here I am in the same boat, okay? Oh, my granny and my great-granny and my mom, they all struggle with anxiety, and I struggle with anxiety, okay? How often do we say, oh, just runs in the family. Just family. You know, we're all like that. Or then we blame it on our bloodline. You know, that's the Latino blood. They're all wired. And you know, the Irish jump in. We're hot-tempered. And the Italians go, okay? So it's almost like it's embedded in our DNA, but not really. But here's what God wants us to find. He wants us to find our new identity, our new label in Him. Amen. Now, think about this. You're just stretch with me. Your ultimate family tree, okay? You came from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, okay? And all of us have inherited this sin because of your great, 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 great grandfather Adam, right? Come on. That's your ultimate family tree. Took the fruit along with Eve, all right? And they said, you know what? I'm going to choose slavery over freedom. That's what happened. That's what happened, okay? And the Bible says, Psalm 51, go look it up. It says something like, from my mother's womb, I was sin-stained from iniquity. From my mother's womb, I was sin-stained. Anyway, you look at it, that's not good, okay? So here's the good news. When you discover Jesus, when you choose to ask Jesus into your life, He engrafts you into a new nature, a new family, new labels, like new, right? And how many of you are thankful you have a new family? I'm of the family of God. They're not whacked. In Jesus, they're not, okay? You know, we have functioned away. But listen, in Jesus, I'm in a new family, okay? I have a new name. I have a new identity. So listen, parents, you can absolutely pass on your chains to your children. And I want to give you an example. Some of you, don't go far left field because you'll go, what is she talking about? Okay, I want to give you an example of two men. I'm going to compare them. Okay, I read this in an article, and I was going to write down the article, but here we go. There was an American educator named A.W. Winship who decided to trace the descendants of Jonathan Edwards. Anybody ever hear of Jonathan Edwards? He was a revivalist preacher. Like, America was going cold, and he comes on the scene, and he's preaching the truth. And I'm telling you, fires of revival all over America. So anyway, so he decided to trace the descendants of Jonathan Edwards almost 150 years after his death. And his findings were so remarkable, especially when compared to this other man who lived at the same time, and his name was Max Jukes. Okay? So let me first tell you about Jonathan Edwards. Let me tell you about his legacy, his descendants. Listen to this. Jonathan's Edwards' legacy, 150 years later, there was one U.S. president, one dean of a law school, one dean of a medical school. Oh, man, three U.S. senators, three governors, three mayors, 13 college presidents, 30 judges, 60 doctors, 65 professionals, 75 military officers, 80 people in public office, held a public office, 100 lawyers, 100 clergymen, and 285 of them were college graduates. Dang, that's a good legacy. Yeah? 150 years. Now, when they started to study his life, what you think was the most obvious reason was not. It wasn't Jonathan Edwards. It was his wife. Training their kids. I don't know why I'm crying. Whatever. No more hormones left here. Ladies. Listen. Girls, ladies, women, the highest calling we have is to train our children who train the next generation. And that's why this is what they found out. It was the women. Okay. Now, Jonathan was cool. Let me tell you. He was a preaching machine. He was a revivalist. And I really believe he was led by the Holy Spirit. Okay. But his descendants did pretty good. Go mama. Right. Now, let me tell you about this other guy, Max Juke. Okay. He did not believe in Jesus. He was not a follower of Jesus, okay? And Max Juke had all the same ingredients in his human blood, okay? Max, let me tell you his legacy. And his family tree This was interesting. They found out in his family tree, 42 different men were in the New York State Prison Institute. And they traced it back, okay? That they all lived at the same time Jonathan Edwards, okay? And in Juke's family originally, listen to this, 7 of them were murderers, 60 thieves, 18 of them owned brothels, 190 were prostitutes, 150 were convicts, which we know, 310 paupers, 440 were physically wrecked because addictions of alcohol, and 1,200 of his descendants that they studied, out of that, 300 of them died premature. So what's the difference between this legacy and this legacy? I really believe, and this go with me, one of them was yoked to slavery, and the other one was God's yoke. He wore God's yoke, okay? And Jesus said, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Woo! I like the light one, all right. Praise the Lord. Now, I because of all that, you can't say, well, those are the deck of, you know, what's it with it? The deck of cards I was given, you just don't have to do anything. No, you have to fight not to go that way, all right? And here's the good news. Whenever you decide to follow Jesus, there's actually a heart transplant. Takes the stony heart and gives you a new heart. His ways, right? His actions, his thoughts. Everybody go, I have a new heart. Man, I have a new heart, okay? And when we renew our mind to the Bible, when we learn what Jesus did, then we're going to start looking like him and acting like him. If you're taking notes, write this down. Oh, yes. What's my favorite scripture? 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. When you receive Jesus Christ, I'm new. Amen. All right, write this down. It's not the things, the thoughts, the actions in your life, especially the thoughts, if they're not defeated, they'll be repeated. And that's what you saw, okay? And that can be a good thing, and that can be a bad thing. Okay, here's an example. King David. King David had a little problem with women, yeah? Okay, and he had 7 wives. Guess how many wives his son had? 700. Pray for him. But seriously, it was a different time. It was a different time. This is my mama finger going out. Pay attention, okay? But listen, if it's not defeated in your life, it's liable to be repeated, all right? And that can go negative and that can go positive, okay? But I like the positive. So this is my prayer that people here at YCF will say, you know what? These chains that have led my family for 20, 30, 40, 50, 100 years, these chains, I'm a chain breaker. I'm a chain breaker. It ends here. And I am going to start to see what God has called me, and I am going to pour into my children, and then they'll pour into their children. I am a chain breaker today in Jesus' name. And you might be the very first person in your family. To my knowledge, I was a chain breaker. I didn't know anybody for generations that knew the Lord Jesus. Now, I like Jack's family. Man, he comes from a long line, okay? And he just jumped on the ship. But how about you say, today, I am a chain breaker. The things that have followed my family, the patterns, I say no. It's a new day. Amen? Amen. Woo! Okay. So we want to move from rent free to set free. Here's my last one. I'm going to do it in 4 minutes. Okay, here we go. Write this down. New patterns take new places. New patterns take new places. New patterns take new places. I'm going to read this one real quick. Here we go. Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The world's got some goofy pattern thinking going on, and they come up to you and go, think this way. You need, come on, this way. Right? And they're trying to get you on the current. Right? Okay. And their pattern of thinking is opposite of God's, all right? So write this down. Patterns create habits. I put this on 5 places of my house because I am tired of some of my patterns. Now, it's not the big, bad, and dirty. Just, you know, get your head out of there, okay? But write that down. Patterns change habits, okay? So, okay, jumping ahead. How many of you as a kid ever did whirlpool? Okay, my friend Regina had big, it wasn't too big, it was a, you know, above ground swimming pool. Okay, now, how did it start? It was hard, right? And then you get your brothers and your sisters, and I'm 1 of 6, hop in! And next thing, it's getting a little bit easier, okay? And we're kind of got some current going. And then we're going, and then somebody always says, change direction. Okay, and then you turn around, and it's hard. It's hard going against the current, right? It's hard. And then, come on, Johnny, Dean, Mary Patrick, all my siblings, get in, jump in again, come on. Okay, and then it starts getting a little bit easier, but, and then, woo! Okay? Praise the Lord. Why do I say all of that? All of us have to do this as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? Some of us have lived in dark thoughts up here, okay? Thoughts the way the enemy wanted us, okay? Thoughts that we've actually allowed to live rent-free up here, okay? And it's going to take some time to turn, okay? It's going to take some time. It's going to take you renewing your mind to what the Word of God says. And that's okay if it's a little bit slow. Just get some of your friends to jump in with you, okay? Help you out. But it's hard to go against the thoughts, the patterns, the currents of the world. And it will take time. Just keep doing it. Just keep doing it, okay? And that's how we grow. Amen. All right, I have another 5 pages. Close your book, Pastor D. God wants us free. We should be free. We are free. On paper, in your Bible, we're free. It'll take some work at it, okay? And it takes you getting into the Word of God and speaking the Word of God. And get some friends to help you. I love the story of Moses. He had Aaron on this side, her on this side. Let's go, Moses. Okay? All right. So everybody say, I want to be free. And I'm moving from rent free to set free. Amen. Bow your heads and close your eyes. Father God, Father, I thank you for your word and your love and your promises that you desire us. You have created us. You have given us a new life, a new image, a new identity to live free. And right now, you know, what has the Holy Spirit been talking to you? I mean, I got new posties on my house, 5 of them, on just patterns that I need to change. What is it the Holy Spirit's spoken to you? Just have a conversation with them right now. I'm not going to sing Baby Shark. What is it that the Lord's saying, you know, these have been thoughts that shouldn't have been there. You need to clear them out, okay? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for talking to each one of us. Thank you, Father. Thank you so much. We thank you so much, Lord. Thank you for loving us and providing freedom in Christ Jesus, whom the Son has set free, is free indeed. Father, that we start to see that you have created us to be free. And there's action to that. And I thank you, Father, that we are people that are not just hearers only. Father, I thank you that everyone in this place is a doer of the word. And Father, that they see themselves, they proclaim themselves, they put action to freedom in you. Thank you for setting us free. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I had fun. But I'll tell you what, this was a tough message. It just reminded me of victories and struggles and even the Lord pointing out this morning, hey, baby, you need to change some things. I'm like, yes, Lord. So I love you, Pastor Sherry loves you. Sherry, get up here. Oh, is he sleeping? We want to introduce you. Brad, come on. This is the newest addition to the YCF family, Zeke Bradley Green. Yeah. I love sleeping babies. Amen. Amen. So he's getting big and strong, and he sat under the word. Hallelujah. Amen. So obviously, you can't be put your hands all over the baby. Just thought I'd tell you that. But you can stand back, 5 feet back, and look at him. Stand up. Father, I thank you for everybody that has come here to been just we love you. We love you, and I thank you, Father, that they might know your love today and go places and share that love with everyone as you lead them in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, that was only 6 minutes over.